on this last day before the octave, and we move on to consider another mystery, the mystery of the circumcision of the Lord, by which he is officially inscribed into the Jewish race. He becomes a member of the Jewish nation because he becomes a son of the covenant by that work, and that's why it takes place on the eighth day, child. But he's inscribed into his flesh that he is a child of Abraham and a member of the Jewish people. That's what we celebrate tomorrow. But today, we have these readings which are to help us realize the incredible thing. God became man, the second person of the Trinity, the one who was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. That, as you, I'm sure you all recognize, that's the way the whole Bible starts, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So John says, in the beginning, wherever you put that beginning, the Word already was. He's eternal. And he's turned toward the Father. We translate it with, but the word, the Greek word is pros, which means toward. In other words, there's this breathtaking relationship. He's turned toward the Father. See? And the Word was God. There is Theos and Logos, but the Logos is Theos, even though there's Father and Son. That's the Trinity. And the bond between them is the Spirit. So then John starts to trace creation. And you see, he was in the beginning. All things came to be through him. And without him, nothing was made. What came to be through him was life. And the life is the light of men. And this light shines in the darkness, still shines in the darkness. And the darkness could not put it out. Alluding to that entrance of Satan into our world, to bring darkness, misery, murder, loneliness, fear, sin, estrangement from God. But it could not put out the light. And so finally, the light came, spoke to us, took on a human being, took on a human flesh, so that he could talk to us, he could heal us, he could show us who the Father is. And then finally, in an act of love, take up all the sins of the world and bring them back for reconciliation to the Father. Because we are redeemed by the act of love in which Jesus Christ died. That's the truth. Now the first letter is telling those people and us, you know the truth. It's a very powerful thing. Children, it is the last hour. Last doesn't have to mean like nothing more. The word is comes from eschaton, all those words. You've heard of eschatology and the eschaton and all that. See, it means the ultimate. One day it will be the last. There'll be no more. But already all the factors that make for that ultimate moment are present. There is Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word of God, present. Opening up to heal, to save, to bring to eternal life, and the opposition from darkness. So the last moment is always here. Once it will be the last, there'll be no more history. But you see, it's the last hour. And just as you heard that the Antichrist was coming, so now many Antichrists have appeared, opposed to Christ. Now, because in his mercy God has graced us, you see, it's hard for us to understand how anybody can be against God coming in his mercy to save us. But that's the mystery of every sin. And so, you see, they have appeared. Thus we know that this is the ora eschati. It is the last, the decisive hour. We're living in this decisive hour. Once it will be completed and the word will, the whole world as we know it will end. Now these who are the Antichrist, they are against Christ, you see. They went out from us. They were part of the community at one time. Part of this group, probably in Ephesus, and the communities around Ephesus. But they went out from us. They were not really of our number. If they had been, they would have remained with us. Now what makes the difference? Yielding to the truth in faith in such a way that our lives are changing all the time. Believing is not like knowing 2 and 2 are 4. You know 2 and 2 are 4. It doesn't get any truer. It doesn't get any falser. It's just 2 and 2 are 4. Knowing that Jesus Christ is the living, eternal Son of God and our Savior, that grows. It has to grow. Because it is the ultimate truth of all reality. See? Their desertion shows that none of them was of our number. And now comes this last part. Which is very important. But you have, and he calls it the chrisma, you have the oil of anointing that comes from the Holy One. And you all have knowledge. This oil of anointing gives us knowledge, you see. It is the Word of God made living, perceptible, powerful by the Holy Spirit. That's the oil of anointing. And you all have it. That's what he's telling us. See, you have the oil of anointing that comes from the Holy One. So you all have knowledge. And a little bit of Greek vocabulary is going to help here. Not a lot. We don't need a lot for what we're doing here. But in Greek, there's two words to know. Ginoskin, which means to acquire by experience, and idene, which means to have abiding knowledge. John uses them both. Most of the time, he's using ginoskin. In this, we have come to know. We have come to experience and know. But sometimes, as in this text here, you see, he's saying, you all have knowledge. This is the way they want to translate that. So you try to get this notion. I went too far in my text here. You have the chrisma from the Holy One, and you all know. You know. That Jesus Christ is the living, eternal Son of God, who in an act of love on the cross saved the whole world and opened up for us once again the whole goal attainable of eternal life. You know that. Can you know it better? Of course. But that's abiding knowledge. You did acquire that by experience at one point. Baptized in the Spirit, some other, but you came to know it. Now you know it. You see? You have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you do. And every lie is alien to the truth. Or every lie is not of the truth. Okay? The truth? The truth is the knowledge of the Father. That's the truth. That's why Jesus can say, I am the truth. Because I am the source. I am the knowledge of the Father. And so, you see, you know the truth. You know the Father. You possess this revelation of the Father. It is shining on the face of Christ Jesus. And that is your protection. He's telling us today. There it is. So you see, the invitation pray. First, pray to seek and acquire and deepen your knowledge of the Father. That's the oil of anointing, you see. That's this Spirit working in us. And so you see, this oil is the Word of God made alive and life-giving. And you yield to that. You yield to that. And that's the key to keeping your mind fixed in the light. There are many antichrists going on. I mean, every day somebody else comes up with a bright idea. You know, Christianity, it had its day. It characterized the infancy of the human race. We know better now. That's going on all the time, right? It would probably be the prevailing opinion in this country right now if it weren't for the evangelicals in the middle of the country and a few scattered Catholics. You know, that's over. It was a nice idea, but it's over. You know better because you have the oil of anointing. You have the Word of God made alive and life-giving in the depth of your spirit. That's what you have. So John calls us to this. Now, when you see, and we don't know how much chaos is going to take place before the truth is once again made radiant. But you have it. And that's what he's telling them. You see, I write to you not because you do not know the truth, the revelation of the Father, but because you do know it. And every lie, every denial of the reality of Jesus Christ, you see, is alien to the truth, is not of the truth. It's very powerful. And you see, then the truth is expressed in the part we read today, the opening lines of the gospel. In the beginning, wherever you put that beginning, the Word already was. And the Word was turned toward the Father. And the Word was Theos himself, the Trinity. He's God, and yet he's turned towards God, the Father. You see? And then everything was made through him. And without him, nothing was made. Ask the Holy Spirit to open your minds. This is the one we receive in this blessed sacrament. The one who was with the Father from all eternity, in that movement of love that makes the Trinity, who became flesh, walked among us, was humiliated, beaten, and killed, so that we could be free from sin. And now he's radiant and glorious in heaven, surrounded by angels, saints, glorifying him, honoring his love. And they all come when he comes. They are here with us. Ask the angels to help you worship. See, the angels, I don't know how many. There could be 2,000 or 3,000. They don't take up any space, so. But the Lord would never be here without his angels. They wouldn't allow it. The angels wouldn't want it. They come and worship here. So as we go through this Mass, let us worship too. And ask the angels to help us. Because all the mystery of which we've just read in both the letter and the prologue of John, they're all right here.